Blog Talk Radio.
Glorious and victorious Sunday. You've got it. Sunday, September the 11th, 2016. You've tuned in to Manna from on High, the greatest time of biblical instruction, motivation, and inspiration. We're going to start our show off on this very glorious afternoon saying that we just can't stop praising His name, because we know that God dwells in the midst of praises. And when we praise the Lord, He will send His deliverance. He will send down the very powers of heaven at our disposal. Just open up, give God the praise, and let Him know that you appreciate all that He is doing and all that He will continue to do. Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
He's worthy. He's worthy of honor. He's worthy of glory. He's worthy of all the praise that we give him. Just can't stop praising his name.
That's right, it got so innumerate
so extensive that literally it took over every sand and every space and literally every place in which it was planted. This is when God really shows up and shows up with that latter rain phase, that third level. That's right. And we are in that third level phase. I'm going to ask you in listening land, what are you trusting and believing God for in this season of the Shekinah glory dispensation and the third level, which is the latter rain? I'm expecting the miracles that I've been praying for so long that have been on hold because the season was not right. See, your reason, there's someone in listening land, I'm going to speak a word of knowledge to you. Your reason was right, but the season was not there. That's right. See, God operates by seasons. That's right. But there is a season, there is a time for a certain occurrence to take place. If you want to utilize the natural projection of things, let's take it like this. During the fall season, that's the season of the bountiful harvest. Everything that was planted in the spring months, that's right, begins to manifold to a point that it has to be harvested. The winter season brings about the arctic chilliness upon the ground, that's right, which causes a lot of things to literally freeze within its own criterion. Then we have the springtime, which means the buds are on the trees. That's right, and life begins to take a new formulation. Everything that was isolated and frozen in the winter begins to experience the spring fall. That's right, the days get a little longer, a little bit more bearable. We begin to see the beauty, the effervescent kaleidoscope of the colors and the spectrum of this world. That's right, we see them more clearly. That's right, the bleakness has passed away, and we can bid the very emptiness of winter adieu. And then here comes summer with the scorching temperatures. Life begins to take manifold. We begin to see people we haven't seen in a while, and we begin to experience those feelings of our youth being revived and rejuvenated within us. So seasons perpendiculate certain things to happen. And within the span of those seasons, God allows certain formulations of nature to take place. But I'm telling you, we are in the Shekinah glory dispensation, the season. That's right, where the latter rain is falling. And I'm telling you something, God has so begun to perform miracles. Got a wonderful praise report from a young man who was looking for a job. And I just gave him a word of knowledge. And he said, you know something, that word you spoke came into fluidity. It came into manifestation. He was blessed and got a job with a very prestigious company as an engineer. That's right. He was picked. That's right. Handpicked out of so many that applied. And he said, you know something? You spoke that word over my life. It wasn't me. It was the power of the anointing. See, the anointing of God is what breaks the yoke and causes the miracles to happen. And he was so proud displaying his uniform that he's going to be wearing with his title, engineer. See, God specializes in the impossible, but you've got to get up, get out there, and get it moving. Because, see, faith without works is dead. That's right. And what is this instrument called faith? There's three components of every believer's life that must be intact, on tandem, on task, and persistently on the mission. Faith, what is that? Read Hebrews 11 chapter. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That's right. It's putting your confidence not in what you see, touch, feel, and taste, but beyond the spectra of the human existence and spanning into the very powers of Almighty God. So when you give God faith and you start moving and you start speaking and you start doing, God honors that because you're validating that I trust you. How can you trust God with your soul and your spirit? You don't even see that and say you don't trust him with the affairs of your life. God is a deliverer to those that trust him. Then there's also what is called hope. Now, hope is different from faith, and I know that I was asked this question several times before. See, faith is right now. That's right. Something has to take place right now. It's like a fervency. That's right. It's a dire situation that means something has to translate into the tangible realm now. Hope is persistently projected within the range of futuristic expectations. Now, it's good to have hope because some things that we prayed and asked God for, we don't need them right now. There are things that need to take place a little bit further up the road. So hope maketh not ashamed, for the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So when we hope, we're giving futuristic expectations that things are going to be set in the rightful perspective and all provisions will be made. And the number one compository of every Christian believer's fundamental existence is charity. What is the difference between love and charity? See, love is something that people express in diverse ways. They can withhold within themselves and say, I love this person. That's on quite reserve stock. But see, charity is love in motion. This is the love that produces the results. When you hear people giving charitable donations, cut off the edible and think of put the why there, and this replicates right now the giving, the doing. That's right. When God tells us that we should be bearers of goodwill and good news, that means we're getting up and being about our Father's business. So charity is defined as love in motion. And this is what really and truly gets the attention of those who may not be believers, of those who may have fallen short from the glory of God and have literally disbanded themselves from the Christian faith because something happened to them that was not pleasant. Sometimes people are literally damaged by those who profess to be of the circumcision. That's right, because sometimes we're a little bit too judgmental. Sometimes we're a little bit too forward. And to those who are newborn babes that desire the sincere milk of the word where they can grow thereof, some of us that are more mature in the Christian faith may be a little bit exclusive, a little bit too extreme, and we may snatch the bottle of milk from the newborn Christian babe's mouth, and some people never recover. But I'm going to tell you something. This is your season of recovery. You're talking about a recovery program? Christ gave us that option when he was hung on Calvary's cross. You see, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon his shoulders, by whose stripes we were healed. This is your season. This is your kind of glory. This is a new phase, a new start, a new level of your existence that has come into flourishing. You are now in the arena thereof. That's right. So these are the things that are so essential to the believers and to those who may have fallen away from believing. You can come back home. You can reclaim that which you left behind. That's why God knows, God understands. And let me tell you something. When you repent and ask for God's forgiveness, know this one thing. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. So know that God receives you, just as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ talked about the prodigal son, about how he left home. That's right, seeking to find himself in the world. When he found out the world could be a very cruel and bitter place, he came back home and laid upon his father and asked him to receive him back. And what happened? The father's heart was touched. Even though he was a little disgruntled, his heart was touched, and he received his son back home. View yourself as being that prodigal son that's saying, Lord, I'm coming back to the fold. I'm coming back to pick up where I left off. That's right. And this time I'm a little bit stronger. I'll be able to last much longer, and I'll be able to teach others what it is to be revived, regenerated, refreshed, and renewed. So praise ye the Lord today. That was a very special word of knowledge. Somebody wants to come back. Come back. There's nothing out in that world. You've been trying to find something there. It wasn't there. That's right. See, the enemy come but to do three things. Kill your joy. See, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Did you know that? The joy of the Lord is your strength. It's what edifies you. It's what strengthens you. That's right. It's like that vitamin B inoculation, a vitamin B supplement that you take every day to make sure that you maintain the harmonious balance of your neuropathical operations. That's right. So The joy of the Lord is your strength. So the enemy can do and put things in your pathway that can denigrate your joy or to stagnate your joy and cause you to condescend, then you begin to sink into the abyss of depression, hopelessness, and haplessness. That's right. So he comes but to kill your joy. That's right. Steal. That's right. Steal what? Steal your hope. That's right. Your projection of the long range of things. That's right. Make you feel as though, you know, you're trapped in this job. You're trapped in this relationship. It's never going to get any better. You're never going to climb out of debt. You're going to stay right where you are. And then, lo and behold, you begin to give into the facade of the human nature. And then you begin to condescend and start to doubt God. You begin to get angry because your eyes start rolling and you start looking at how other people are living, what they're achieving, and what they're doing. That's right. So he's stolen. That's right. Stolen the very projection of your hope, of knowing that somehow, some way, God is going to get me out of this. And also the instrument of faith. But he doesn't know how to attack faith because, see, faith is that substance. That's why I say a substance is something that's hard to define, but it's even harder to disperse. That's right, because it formulates into different aspects. That's right, it can take on any manifesto. So instead of attacking your faith, attacking your hope. That's right, which is the long-term projection of things. That's right. And then the third aspect of what the enemy is launched to do is to tear down the saints of the Most High God. Why? How does he do that? By causing disruption in the body of Christ. That's why the body of the true church, Jesus Christ, is perfect. It can't be touched. It's sovereign. But to those of us, we're of the human facade. That's right. We are of the fleshly nature, though the Spirit of God that is divine dwells within us. There's oftentimes engines and fissions. That's why they cause believers to break away from each other because of doctrinal differences. That's why, see, that's why Apostle Paul said before, he said, now, the letter killeth, but see, the Spirit giveth life. So that's why, so when you're walking in this, you're free from the law of mankind. You're no longer bound down by doctrinal differences. That's right. You're not denigrated by the fact that others have diverse ways of believing or exercising their belief in God. You're not bound. So if he can cause others to have conflict with one another, then the job is done. Because the scripture tells us, where there is unity, there is strength. And see, with all this confusion, we get our eyes off God. That's right. So this is how the saints of the Most High God get torn down. That's right. And so this is the reason why we must understand that the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. They're not something, a weapon you can pick up and then just literally obliterate the enemy. No, the weapons of our warfare are invisible. They're not carnal. Carnal means of the fleshly persuasion, where you can pick them up and have them at your easy accessibility. But they're mighty through who? Through God, through the pulling down of strongholds. That's right. Where we cast down every imagination that exalted itself above God. That's right. And every thought. That's right. That is not reflective of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It was not talking about love. It's not talking about charity. It's not talking about faith. Grace, that's right. That's the existential cushion that God gives us to embrace us in case we fall short of his word, his will, and his way. And it gives us the leverage, the capacity to bounce back up to where we were. That's right. So it was not talking about peace. It's not talking about patience. It's not talking about loving kindness. It is not of God. So we have to recognize these things and crucify the flesh whenever possible. That's right. Now, I'm not saying that we're in this world and, oh, we're going to just, of course, 24/7 and then some, we need to seek God's knowledge. We need to seek God's ability. We need to pray. We need to meditate. We need to be on that existential, spiritually inclinated level where we're constantly communicating with God. But there comes a time we have to communicate with others. We have to talk to others and engage with others. That's right. And some people say, don't become so heavenly bound, you know, earthly good. No, I say, don't become so earthly bound that you're no heavenly good. That's right. We have to have a balance. First, natural, we got to take care of our natural hygienic appropriations and the way we look, the way we
maintain our physical appearance, the way we handle our business. We have to attain all things by honest report. That means we don't steal, we don't lie, we don't cheat, we don't harass other people and go underhand to get some pay. I said pay to play. We don't do that. We're born again Christians. We don't live that way because the God that we serve, Jehovah Jireh, who is God the Almighty, he has diverse capacities to fulfill every need that we have. So we don't have to live like the world. But people in the world do that because they have no knowledge. They're but infidels. That's right. And many of them are rebelling against God, and they're like their father, the devil. That's right. There's only two masters. You're going to love one and hate the other. You love God, and you're going to obey him all the way. Not saying we're not going to slip up and we're not going to have imperfection, because as long as we live in these carnal bodies, that's right, we're going to constantly fall short and we're going to constantly fail faith. But then God will embrace us when we come back boldly to the throne of grace and we confess our shortcomings. He is just to forgive us. So thank God for Jesus, and I thank God for you on this day. And let me tell you something, what's so special about this day? I want everything quiet in your household. Please make sure everything is quiet in your household. This is the day that many of you remember, September the 11th of what year? 2001. America was brought to its knees. Why? Because there was a wickedness in the land that wanted to destroy the security of the American people. And it wanted to cause the very defamation of our nation, that wanted to destroy everything that the people of America worked so very diligently for. That's right. And when this happened, it was a crushing blow where 3,000 lives were lost. Some of them were lost in the air, and some of them were lost in those twin towers. But let me tell you something. Forever and everlasting remembrance, God holds those names and those souls that went down on that day. So many people believe in the conspiracy theory that we were literally set up by our own legislation of the land. But see, all that are involved will be held accountable. That's right, because one thing about it, you can lie to man, you can deceive others, but you cannot hide from God. And another thing, too, you can't hide from the prophets and the prophetesses of God. That's right, because as high as the heavens is from the earth, God's ways are from our ways, his thoughts from our thoughts. And God has connected with some of us with a level of frequency where we see, we know, and we understand. And let me tell you something, everyone be held accountable. But those dear hearts were taken from so many people, as others have proclaimed, and had caused much sorrow. But listen, let me tell you something. To be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. When you believe in God, and those situations like that happen, if God delivered David from the lion's den, how much more so will he deliver his from Pharaoh? Some were delivered, some survived, but others were not as fortunate, and God received them. Let me tell you something. God has a mercy upon whom he will have mercy upon. That's right. And at that last waking hour, that's right, before, that's right, those individuals went down in those aircraft. Don't you know some of them were calling on the name of the Lord, and God received them? They felt no pain. They felt no ache. They felt no suffering. That's right, because this is the majestic God that we love and we serve, and we know that he's merciful in that. And to those individuals who were responsible, let me tell you something. They can change their name. They can change their physical appearance. Let me tell you something, the word of knowledge. You can't hide from God. That's right, and for the most part, the majority of them have paid the price with their lives for their infamous deeds. Because the scripture tells us, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man thought, that shall he also reap. But we just want to take this time before we go into the teaching of the Word of God to acknowledge those men and let those families that are so have the very, very essence and the heaviness upon that we have not forgotten. That's right, we have not forgotten. That's right, and we're yet praying with you that God will and the grace that will carry you through these turbulent days and these long and oftentimes diverse nights. That's right, because we know God shall and he will. And to know that one day, that's right, you're going to be reunited with those that have gone on. And not only those that were tragically, that's right, in that particular cusp of the habeas events of 911, but to those who have had other loved ones to deceased. That's right. Know that one day you're going to be reunited with those loved ones. And let me tell you something. There won't be any more goodbyes and farewells. Everyone will be back together again. And behold, in John said, I saw, that's right, the city of Jerusalem, New Jerusalem, ascending as a bride, prepared for the bridegroom. That's right, coming to the earth. And you're talking about a city of Zion, a city of beauty, where the lion will lay down with the lamb. There won't be any more crying, no more weeping, no more pestilence, no more anger, no more sorrow. Why? Because the former things of the world have passed away. And this is the reason why I'm here, and others are here on manna from on high to instruct you on how to attain citizenship into that city of New Jerusalem, preparing you for what is coming in the mid-tribulation phase, because we're in the middle of the great tribulation. That's right. If you read the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, our Messiah, our Lord told us and told us that perilous times are going to come, and the signs that we ought to look for. That's right. So this is the reason why we're here, so that we're preparing you. That's right, for the days ahead, because we've got to fight that fight of faith. We've got to continue to teach this word. We've got to continue to preach this word. We've got to continue on in prayer. We've got to continue on. The gospel has to reach every earthly domain on this planet before Christ makes his second coming. It has to. And this is why we're preparing you. That's why I'm preparing you to do a ministerial leadership class for those who are seeking the ministry, who need guiding parameters on how to defend the faith, how to be steadfast, how to be unmovable, how to know the word of God, and how to walk in the very enlightenment of his presence. So those things are very quickly coming up, and I praise the Lord that we're able to do that, and we do offer counseling. We do offer a lot within the circumference of the Manna from On High network. All you do is have to reach out and just let us know. That's right, because we're helpers one to another. That's right, and that's what we're here for, and we will continue to be here for that purpose. That's right, and we praise the Lord for giving us the opportunity to be in that area. For your spiritual enlightenment, your spiritual edification, and your definite soul's inspiration, we want to go to the 103rd division of Psalms. That's why Psalms is such a beautiful book, and the Lord has definitely been giving me a word of knowledge as it relates to Psalms, because many people just say, oh, the book of Psalms is full of so many poems and songs. These passages are not just poems and songs. These passages actually are supplications. Some of them are supplications. This man David was going through the fire, through the hailstorm. The very man that he thought he could trust, that was his ally and his friend, had turned against him. Because why? Saul saw the anointing and the appointing that God had placed upon David in his life. He no longer was that young shepherd boy that slew the Philistinian giant Goliath with that slingshot and that smooth stone. This man had been elevated by God. God saw something in him that he needed to govern the children of Israel. And Saul knew that his time was coming up. He had even had a dream from the prophet Samuel that let him know that God was no longer pleased with Saul, because Saul began to deal with enchantment. Enchantment means black magic. That's like using the very essences of satanic practice, a ritualistic belief. And because he was calling on the company of soothsayers, that's why those are necromantic people who profess to be able to talk to the dead, or clairvoyants that profess to be mediums. Saul had really went down to the LCD, the least common denominator, and God couldn't give his glory through his leadership anymore. Saul once was a pious and humble man, but because of things that translated in his life, he began to take on a different personality. And there was something about David that really ired him. He saw the calling upon David's life, that he knew that God was going to exalt him to be king. And what Saul wanted to do was to destroy
his reputation before he took the throne, and even so far to take his life. But see, David knew that God had to allow these things to happen. See, before God oftentimes exalts us, he has to chasten us sore. That's right. And he had to chasten him so that he wouldn't get beyond and beside himself when he took the throne. That's right. And here it is that he's about to make his exodus out of all of these complications. And this is why he's giving praise to the Lord. He says, bless the Lord. See? Oh, my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. What is David saying? He said, acknowledge God. Praise God. Oh, I praise him within my being, within my soul, a very element of my existence. I bless his name. Can you bless God's name? Yes. When you speak of his name, when you think of his name, when you praise his name, you are blessing his name. And when you bless his name, he's going to bless your existence. That's right. He says again in the second verse, Psalms 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Okay, when we talk about benefits, what are we saying? We're talking about things that are extra essential to our existence. We're not talking about necessity. We know God has already taken care of that. But accessory. That's when we talk about benefits, we're talking about extra essential accessories. That's right, that he does for us. Things that he doesn't have to do, but out of his infinite mercy, out of his loving kindness, he just does it to show that he is a father that truly cares for his children. He said, and forget not all his benefits. That's right. When you turn around and you get a debt that's paid in full and you don't know I got paid, that's a benefit from the Lord. That's right. When you've had the paperwork saying one thing negative about you and then suddenly you get correspondence or don't get any correspondence at all from that company, that is a benefit. That is God fighting your battle for you. So these are things that God does to validate his love for his children. The third verse says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. What are iniquities? See, sin and iniquity are two different statutes, okay? Iniquity is the desire to commit ill will, okay? That's the desire. You know, if someone steps on your foot, say, for instance, the iniquity would be if someone stepped on your foot, I'd go back over there and pretend like I fell and step on hers. Or step on his. See, that's the desire to commit ill will. That's right. That's the desire. It's not the ill will itself. The ill will itself is the sin. But iniquity is the prerequisition to the sin. He forgets our iniquity, because sometimes our thoughts are not pure. That's right. Somebody says something to us we don't like, we want to go out there, we want to fuss and cuss and act real ugly. Why? Because you hurt my feelings. But see, he forgives all our iniquities. That's his desire to even do wrong. He heals all our diseases. See, Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon his shoulders, by whose stripes we were healed. That means that God has already healed us. He provided that healing on Calvary. That's right, because his blood was the cleansing tide. That's right. And the water washed us clean. That's right. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. That's right. So he took on every ill summation that could occur to mankind on Calvary's cross. So he heals all of our diseases. He is a healer. That's right. God doesn't afflict people to try to get his glory. I've heard some people say, you know, sometimes God can bring a person down and cause illness in their body. No, that's chastisement. Sometimes we get above and beyond ourselves. We won't acknowledge God. We think that we're all that, the bag of chips and the factory that produced the potato product. And sometimes we need a cool reminder, a little tap on the shoulder to let us know that, hey, I'm in charge of you. You're not in charge of anything. All the power and the authority that we have, it's taken from God. And sometimes those things occur when our systems get ran down and we become, that's right, ill-faceted and going in another direction. But then God, on his infinite mercy, he heals us. He makes us whole. That's right. He removes those things. Okay? So the next verse says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. That's why that means that God has mercy upon us, and he allows us to sideswipe some so many dangers, so many plots and plans of the enemy to hurt us, harm us, to denigrate our name, to put us to shame, to steal from us, to try to just bring us down. God turns back that plan and makes it a blessing. He gives us his angels charge over us, and he causes us to go in a different path or in a different direction to divert from that negative situation. And in even more extreme cases, God sends out the archangels, Gabriel and Michael. That's why in the host of others that follow the command of God, and then the archangels give the orders to the other angels, the seraphim and the cherubim, on what to do. That's why to prepare the way and the path for us to travel in our lives. This is why trusting in God is such an essential element to every Christian believer and to anyone who desires to come into the fold. It's trusting in God, putting all of your confidence in him, which will limit your accessibility to be let down by man. So a lot of times when people are let down through the congregation, they put their hope in the people in the congregation as opposed to putting their hope, their anchoring in God. Because you just understand something. There's no sin in the true church. That's why Jesus Christ is the true church. He is that church vine. That's why in his Father, our Father, God the Father, is the husbandman. That's right. So when we put our trust in them, we'll never be let down. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Oh, I love this. What is he saying? He says, so he allows us to speak good. That's right. You know, to give praise, to give honor, to give recognition. You see, by your words are you justified. By your words are you condemned. So as a man thinketh, so is he. Because what? It comes in the mind, it's in the heart, and it comes up in the heart, it bursts, and then it gives birth into the natural perspective of things. So he allows our youth to be renewed. That's right. Because why? They that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. They shall what? Mama with wings like the eagle. They shall walk and not get weary. That's right. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's right. Look how God kept the children of Israel while they were in the land of bondage because of their disobedience. The number 40 represents chastisement. That's why they would oftentimes say in the naturalistic perspective of things that you are over the hill. Why? Because you've come out the valley where you used to play in the playground, and now you've went over the hill, which means you recognize that valley is way down there, that hill is right here, but then you've got to go up to that mountain to get to that definite plateau of your own fulfillment and of your destiny. That's right. So God satisfies us and he rejuvenates us. That's why we begin to look younger. We begin to feel younger. We begin to experience things that we experience in our youth, but with wisdom. This time we have the wisdom. We know who's large and in charge. It is God. And let me tell you something. This time has so escaped us. Don't get sad and get glad because we're coming back to you again on next Sunday. That's right, with more manna from on high, that God will exalt his best in your life, that the power of his presence will translate and miraculously transform your situation and your circumstance into a favorable existence where you'll be singing his praises all day long, and you'll be as Keith Pringle and the Florida Mass Choir and as your host of the most, from coast to coast, the Esquire saying, can't stop praising his name. So be blessed this week. Make sure you inbox us. That's right. On Facebook, the Manna from On High Network, we will definitely pray for you if your prayer life is not where it should be. We're going to pray for you about your prayer life. If you need someone to stand in agreement with you of a certain situation, you need counseling, God is already there. That's why he said you receive not because you ask not. That's why he said when you ask amiss, you're not sure. But when you know where you are and what you need, whatever you need, God has got it. May the miracles continue to transform your life. You got your host with the most from coast to coast, the Esquire, Abby A. Felton, the Motor City Mile, Ronnie Spain, and all things give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And truly, God is in the blessing business. We'll see you again real soon. Oh, yeah.